Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Oh, look at that. 1-2 by DC.
And then he clinches. Exactly what you gotta do.
Oh, he hit it!
History, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never see it again.
Look at Stipe Kip. He just stood up, but he's still hurt.
Yep.
One of the greatest of all time, Daniel Cormier. Unprecedented, rarefied air.
Incredible.
The fact that he won by knockout.
That's what all his coaches were saying. He translates well at this weight. The weight he wears well, he hits harder. He's knocked out everybody he's trained with. That's what they were saying, and here it is.
Stipe Miocic set a new standard for this division, and Daniel put all of that to bed tonight.
And for more, we have Yahoo Sports' Kevin Ioli on the line. Evening, Kevin.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Great. So, Daniel Cormier, 39 years old, has a record of 21 wins and one loss. That was against John Jones back in 2015. Was just light heavyweight champion, and as we heard there, heavyweight champion as well now. Recently referred to himself as the daddest man on the planet, given his dad bod.
He is he's a remarkable athlete. You've got to give him a lot of credit for what he's done. And, you know, it was not surprising that, you know, he got himself back because he's shown this resiliency throughout his career. You know, he'd get up to the peak and be almost at the top of the mountain and then kind of lose the big fight. It happened in the Olympics. It happened in college wrestling. It happened in MMA twice when he fought John Jones. But he always managed to get himself back up. The thing that we weren't sure that he could do is kind of, could he reach the summit and get over? And he faced an unbelievable challenge of Stipe Miocic, and the fact that he was able to pull that off in the manner that he did is one, in my mind, is one of the great moments in UFC history.
Yeah. So, is he a star? Is the question. Like, I'm looking at the UFC now, and I'm wondering if there is a standout star in the post-Rousey era and whatever. I'm not sure. We won't quite call it the post-McGregor era, given that he's due to fight again maybe sometime this year. But is Cormier now the superstar in UFC, or is there one?
Well, here's what I would say. You know, I think there's two fighters of recent vintage, McGregor and Rousey, who they would sell pretty much regardless of who they fought. So you would know that, hey, once McGregor established himself, you know, once that happened, he's going to sell and get big ratings, sell tickets, sell pay-per-views, no matter who he fought. Rousey did the same thing. I don't think Cormier is at that point where he can sell just on his name. But with a good opponent at this stage, he is definitely a star. I think the fight with Brock Lesnar, if and when they do that, is a 2 million pay-per-view fight. The UFC has never had a 2 million pay-per-view fight yet. Obviously, McGregor was part of the fight with Mayweather that did over 4 million, but there's never been an MMA fight that's done 2 million. I think that Cormier and Lesnar will become the first to do that. So it depends on how you want to judge it, but I think it's fair to say that he is a star because he's going to sell a lot of pay-per-views, going to sell a lot of tickets, and most importantly to him, make a ton of money.
Mm. How many have tried and failed to win both light heavyweight and heavyweight belts?
I'm trying to think that, you know, Randy Couture has won them both, you know, won them. I can't off the top of my head. I'm not thinking of anybody else who's who's even tried that. It's a rare feat because the gap, you know, especially in the modern UFC, Joe, when you look, you know, 205 is the weight limit for light heavyweight in MMA. And then heavyweight is up to 265. And these guys, you know, are 245, 250, 260. That is a tough challenge for somebody who's making 205. So it doesn't happen too often.
You mentioned there the potential of the Brock Lesnar fight. So there was an altercation after his win against Miocic at the weekend. Brock Lesnar came into the ring and it was all very WWE. Here's a quick clip.
Hey, listen to DC. Listen to DC. There's a guy that I've known for a long time. I never thought I would fight.
Let me tell you something. I walked into this building and watched the heavyweight disasters from the beginning. Nagano's a piece of Miocic's a piece of DC, I'm coming for you. Come on.
Hey, bro, get out of my octagon. I got some pictures to take.
Come on, DC.
Can I put it to you, Kevin, that I'm right on board with Curtis Blades, who tweeted after this little altercation afterwards, this Brock Lesnar, Daniel Cormier pushing and kind of calling each other out. There was a piece in The Guardian by Josh Gross who described it as a depressing product of UFC's entertainment era. And what Curtis Blades tweeted, who's involved in the heavyweight division, was, "I'm tired of all the politics. Like, is it even still about fighting? I'll continue to grow as a martial artist and become more dangerous. I refuse to resort to that WWE BS, fake arguing, just to draw in lame-ass casual fans." I guess he's right in many respects. Cormier was asked about this and simply wrote back to him or responded saying, "Well, just stay broke then." This is the UFC, I guess, entering the entertainment arena because that's frankly what it's in.
I'm going to disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. I'm not big on the wrestling stuff and all that, but for time immemorial, the fight game has been this. It's been getting people interested in seeing you fight somebody else. You know, if you and I fight, nobody cares about us. Nobody cares what happens, so nobody's going to watch it. You know, the people who might watch it would be the people walking by in the street if we're fighting on the street corner and make sure that they don't get hit. But other than that, nobody cares about it. So the fight game has always had this, and it's happened. You know, Muhammad Ali did it years ago, and it's always been that way for as long as I can remember, whether it was MMA, boxing, kickboxing. You know, there's rivalries, there's trash talking, and all that. So you have to realize, you know, I respect Josh Gross. I completely disagree with him because the amount of people who would just watch a fight is very low.
Yeah.
And the hardcore fans represent less than 2% of the total audience. And they sometimes overestimate how big they are in the group. And when they represent such a small part of the audience, you don't cater to them because you know they're going to watch the fight anyways. Mm. And this it is a business both for the UFC and for the fighters. And the fact that who are we to tell Daniel Cormier, well, instead of making $25 million to fight Brock Lesnar, or more than $25 million to fight Brock Lesnar, you should make $750,000 to fight Curtis Blaze. It sounds a little bit stupid and when you think of it in those terms. And, you know, Curtis Blaze is a good fighter and his time will come. But, you know, when you don't bring anything to the table, you're not an exciting fighter, you're not an exciting personality, this is what happens. And you have to sell yourself in modern sports, not just in fighting, but certainly in a one-on-one sport like fighting. It becomes, you know, you have to make people want to care to see you fight. And if you don't, you're not going to make a lot of money or get a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. I mentioned the Daniel Cormier rivalry with John Jones. He did lose to him twice, but one of those fights has been stricken from the records because it turned out that Jones tested positive for Turnbull. And Lesnar's last fight in UFC 200 was July 2016, which again was also overturned to a no contest because he tested positive for a banned substance. And he's only recently re-entered USADA's drug testing pool. So it might be 6 months, it might be January before this Cormier fight occurs. So that's right. Two big rivalries in Cormier's career where the shadow of drugs has loomed large. To what extent is that talked about? You know, put it this way, we're skeptics on this show.
You know, the thing is, drugs have been a big problem in sports in general, but it's certainly in MMA. And it remains a big problem. There's a lot of people that are testing positive. I am vehemently against performance-enhancing drugs, and I badgered Dana White. There's a lot of videos on YouTube where you can see Dana doing scrums before they put the drug testing in, where I was quizzing him on how come they didn't have a drug testing program. So I am fully in favor of a strong program. And Brock Lesnar certainly did himself no favors before UFC 200 when he tested positive against Mark Hunt. So he is going to have to come clean through this fight. And, you know, if there's any sport that people think, or I don't know if you want to call it a sport, but business that's dirty or drug-wise in MMA, it would be pro wrestling. And, you know, Brock is a big dude. And, yeah, you know, so there's going to be those suspicions surrounding him. I look at it this way, though. He served the proper penalty. When he still has a little bit of time on his suspension, because when he retired, the suspension halted, Joe. So he still, when he now that he's unretired, he's going to go back on suspension, finish. And I forget, it's not a lot of time, but there's a period of time left on that suspension.
Yeah.
So when he finishes that, then, you know, he has to finish the 6 months being in the testing program. But I think Brock served the penalty. So what we want is we want people to pay a penalty when they cheat. He's paid that penalty. Same thing with John Jones. He is in the process of paying the penalty. He's trying to get it shortened. We'll see what happens on his. But as long as there is a very stiff penalty that can serve as a deterrent to say to fighters, you're going to be out for not weeks or months, but years, because we're going to treat you seriously, take this very seriously, then you know, I think that they're doing the best they can do.
I take your point. I dare say the benefits of the steroid juice will outlast the ban. As for the fight itself, it was very apparent to anybody who watched that altercation with Lesnar and Cormier in the ring that Lesnar has a serious height advantage. I'm reading that one of Cormier's big attributes is that he has a very impressive fight IQ. He can suss out an opponent. He can adapt to a fighter as a fight begins and continues. And that's his big strength in many respects. How do people see the fight ultimately going between Cormier and Lesnar?
I think it's a one-sided fight in favor of Cormier, to be honest with you. I really do. I think, you know, Lesnar is a terrific wrestler. But look, you know, MMA wrestling and Olympic college-type wrestling are two different things. And it's all about the transitions and getting things in. Lesnar is a hard hitter, but he's not what I would call a good striker. He doesn't have a lot of diversity to his game. And DC is going to be able to read him. I think DC is a good striker, as he proved against Miocic. And I think you'll see a similar fight to what happened with Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar. I believe that was UFC 121, if I'm not mistaken. But it was in 2010. And it was a fight that, you know, people thought was going to be a very tough fight for Cain because of Brock's size. And Cain just went in there and dominated Brock in all aspects of it. Took him down. He knocked him down with punches, pummeled him. And I see DC doing a very similar thing.
Okay. Finally, Kevin, is there any concrete word on when we may see McGregor back in the ring?
Well, it was interesting. John Kavanaugh, Conor's coach, was telling people last week that, you know, there's talks going on. I did a private one-on-one with Dana White, and I talked to him at length, and he swore up and down that there wasn't anything going on. And that he wouldn't even attempt to talk to Conor's team until after the hearing in New York for his bus incident takes place, and that is all resolved. So, you know, I think the best that you can hope for with seeing McGregor would be the New Year's Eve show in Las Vegas. I would be more than willing to bet that we don't see him, if we ever do see him. But if he comes back, that it would be 2019.
Okay. Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.